12. They did. That's the group that played with Paul Slammer and Graceland. Come through about once a year. Very good. And I think tickets are about $30. And then
I'm not sure.
somewhere now into the second quarter that I hear these things. And I say, so, have you looked at the performance goal? And they say, what? You know, that bold thing in there that says performance goals, you looked at that? No, I don't read the learning guide. Well, why not? Well, I don't know. It's just, you know, I can find out what comes about. No. Performance goal tells you what it is that you want to be able to do, so that you can then ask yourself, can I do this? Or, what do I think I'm going to need to do this? And then you can look at the learning objectives and move forward. And then look at the exercises for that topic or that day. And what those do is provide you, if you just thumb through those in a given topic, and you look at the purpose of each exercise. Now, why in the world would he put in a purpose for each exercise? So that you know why you're doing it. You know what I have in mind and how that's going to build. And generally you'll find, because, you know, I hear these things from lots of students that say, have to see the big picture. It all, I can everything and see the big picture. It just doesn't make sense to me if I don't see the big picture first. Well, it's getting toward midterm. What happens is, because studying all that long for dad, because I didn't call it cold. I'm not sure if I should come to class, because if I miss class, come to miss something, so I'll have my cold, and then I'll, if I get through it, I'll fuck up. And the other advice to that person is, go to bed, different soup. And I realized I don't have anything for the vegans, because I don't know what the chicken substitute is for chicken soup. 80s chickenless. My grandmother wouldn't agree. Mm-hmm. And you spend a couple days in bed, you'll get better, and then you'll be able to think better. Anyway, so if you look at the purpose of each exercise, what you see in general is that we start out someplace. Then we build on that. Then build on that. Then we end. We use that model to solve some problems. You want to look at the head at the last and see what the problems are we're trying to solve, although that's what the performance goal tells you. Then you can get some idea of where we're going. You know where that path is going to lead. So, preview, you look at the exercise and say, what do I think about this? Do I have to know everything about it? Well, why not? Because I see it again and again and again. Okay. That's what you think you know.
I guess I just wanted to ask for context, and
here I am.
Yeah. And I get that, you know, you just kind of go through it, but I actually spent a lot of, and once I did that, I have a much better picture, a long umbrella, about what we're doing with general mechanisms. And so once I was able to look at that, then the individual exercises to me make much more sense. And it, for me, just looking through learning guide, the way that it's structured and some of the layout and whatnot, that wasn't really self-evident to me.
Do you have your outline?
Yeah. But once I did that and I was like looking at the purpose of each exercise, then it made much more sense of, you know, how one exercise is building on top of the other. Kind of reducing it down to, you know,
Did you guys look at talk about my maps?
Yeah, that was in section B, so that's on
the tip. So let's take this outline. Oh. As you can see, looks very much like a standard kind of outline. Here's 1, A, 1, 2, 3, B, 1, 2, C. 1, 2, small a, small b, small c. Notice that that's very linear. It's not really attacked at all. Nobody's feeling attacked? No. So this is, and the reason I'm showing you this is because I think a lot of you probably outline. I want to suggest to you, instead of outlining, put that in some pictorial form. What this allows me to do, I have those labels. Let's do this. We could do this as a concept map. We could do this as a mind map. Let's do this as a mind map. A great mind map for this. And it says here, have tools of the trade. And the tools of the trade is the central theme, right? So what are the tools of the trade? Well, what we see here, there's the tools of the trade. What we see here are their mechanisms. And in addition to mechanisms, there are tutorial diagrams, tutorial models. And there's another thing here that says approach. And the last one are, right? Does it make sense what I did so far? Now, what about these mechanisms? What is a mechanism? Well, we can see here that a mechanism is a stepwise series of events. And what it really is a causal stepwise series of events, or a stepwise series of causal events. Okay? Right? And what else do we want to know about that? Our example here, why would we be doing the toilet as an example? Well, because what we'll see is that the toilet illustrates a whole bunch of the models that we're going to end up in physiology. But my lord, they're in the toilet too. And it tells us then that those general models have characteristics that are kind of relevant. And what do we want to do with the general models and the mechanisms? Well, what we want to do then, both of those problems, that doesn't have a lot of words in it. It has arrows that help me link things, and I could actually put some words on this to help me link those. So what about these pictorial models? Models of different kinds. Block diagrams. What are those of? Well, those are of mechanisms. Tell me about the mechanism, maybe I want to play. And what do they do? Well, they help me approach a new topic. Follows a number of general models here. Now what you've done, created a map for yourself that you can use. That overall thing, it's all about tools of the trade. Various tools of the trade, and when we talk about mechanisms in the toilet, I can be over here. I can put it on my model here. I can put it on my model. And when you go back to think about this, what you see, except for two of you, see is that picture. In the outline, you see a linear set of statements. It's difficult to locate the information in your head in that outline. Now this, it's real easy to locate that information. Oh, we're talking about general models. Don't worry about that. It's over this one. Now, did you look at the mind map that I had in the learning guide for the anatomy introduction? How long did it take me to do that? Did it? We also think, did you look at the book? Look at your textbook? How long did it take me to do that? 5 minutes. If I really look carefully, maybe 7 minutes. Now, if I have that, that's kind of a preview. That's another way to preview what we're talking about, the retreat. It gives me a preview of what's going on, and it gives me a framework that I can then take into the lecture and organize my notes at the same time that she's giving the lecture in a pictorial form. Oh, you know, that fits over here. I'll fill that in. Oh, now she's moved over here. I see where things fit. So I think it's great, Don, what you did. I think the concept is really good.
Those words sound
effective. But they will become more so.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I invite all of you to start thinking about is drawing diagrams. Are the right wrong ways to draw a diagram? No. And the purpose that you draw a diagram is not necessarily to have the diagram. Make those links. Because if I connect this to this, and I see that this is also connected to here, here, and here, what I've done is actually, all you learning style folks, I've dealt with my kinesthetics because I've actually made that link, telling myself that link.
Okay, questions about this? Is that helpful?
God, you can say it 2 weeks. I mean, yeah, but.
All right. And so, a preview, you take a look at what's going on, and I guess, Don, what you did with your outline, what I was suggesting that you do with your map to learning, or the roadmap, is that you look at this section and say, where does it fit? Now I'm going to go there, and how am I going to build that? I'm going to go to the next section. It's just for the purposes to do that same kind of thing.
Questions?
Yeah?
Did you use it?
Turns? So you said you dealt with a toilet. Tell me what happens. Tell me what happens in the toilet before you flush.
I'm sorry, it's mixed with dryer.
You learned there's a sock in the toilet.
It means something.
Whoa.
It depends. No, it depends. No, wait a minute. It depends on what's in the toilet at the time, doesn't it?
Flush it
and
take it
work. Oh, I see. Okay. Now, if you watch that commercial for Kohler, the guy's coming out of the house, and the attractive plumber is going next door, and he runs back upstairs, and puts all these towels in the toilet, and flushes, puts all these candles in the toilet, and flushes, puts a bunch of other things in the toilet, flushes. And just about the time he's trying to put a whole bunch of dog chow in the toilet, his wife shows up, and I guess if it's colder, it doesn't make a difference if the sock is not. Yes, you know. Yeah. All right. Tell me, what's the situation? What's the situation in that toilet? Before you flush it. No.
Okay.
We're assuming that the toilet is clean. Okay, it has clean water in it. And I don't know if it has a sock or not. It's irrelevant. At this point, it's irrelevant. But let's come back. We'll come back to the sock.
Full of water, waiting.
Why is the tank full of water?
Because of an equilibrium.
Not an equilibrium.
We have to talk about
what equilibrium means, but yeah. Why is it full of water?
Because the water valve shut off because of the float.
Okay, because there's a float, and as it filled up, the float
shut off.
Closed the valve.
Yep.
So why does the water stay in there?
Because of the
flap valve and the hole at the bottom of the tank. Okay, that's good. Now, is there any pressure?
Air pressure, yeah. What
kind of pressure is it?
Well, there's cold, there's water.
What kind of pressure is on the valve flap at the bottom?
Water. And air
pressure. Water pressure. Air pressure is negligible compared to the water.
Sure.
And so, if it was water pressure, what's another word for water?
Hydro.
There's hydrostatic pressure. It's hydro, it's water, it's static, it's a standing column. And actually, we'll see that hydrostatic pressure is also a term that's used when it is flowing because the pressure is called hydro.
Okay.
So, how come, and so the water stays in there, there's pressure, there's no flow. We talked about that. And what about the bowl? What's happening in the bowl? Water is just sitting there.
It's growing bacteria.
It's in equilibrium. I don't know if it's in equilibrium. Did you talk about equilibrium? There's a gradient there, so I'm not sure about this equilibrium. It's not the lowest energy. And so, now, let's see what happens. If I can visualize what happened there, then you come and you flush the toilet. When the flush toilet, what happens? Pardon? Not worried about the sock. Which, no, you, that's all right. You can heckle, that's fine. But you got
to...
No, what happens when you now flush the toilet? What's the mechanism? But what are the causal steps that are going to cause something to happen? What do you do first?
Push it down.
So you push the lever down. Because flushing it really is a descriptor of the whole process, isn't it? So the first thing that happens is you push the lever down. So now we look at our causal
push.
Slide
push
the lever down.
That's why you get.
What does that cause to happen?
It is.
Could be.
The valve, this, okay? So the flat valve to that in the paint ball in that picture. Okay? Paint ball. Then what happens? Water flows from the high pressure to low pressure. Okay. Water flows. Where does it flow? It goes out of the tank, right? Into. That pressure gradient was there, wasn't it? Over here. So what is it that allowed this move from down the tank to the bowl? Open the channel. So what you really did was lower the resistance. Because initially there was an infinite resistance, right? Lower the resistance, and water flowed out of the tank and into the bowl. What happened next? The flow went down. Okay, the flow went down in the tank. Push the lever up and the tank ball lifts, and this went down, and so all the cause decreased resistance fly line. What happened then?
Flap shut.
Water flowed into the tank. Now you see why it's not really reasonable to take goodness here, but I'll do that more on here. Okay, and what else happened then? So that's going on in the tank. What's happening in the bowl? Sorry.
Well, the resistance went up too because the flap shut. Otherwise, the water would keep coming down the hole.
The resistance hasn't. The flap hasn't shut yet.
Okay. I thought it did. Once the water
is flowing in from the supply line.
Right. I thought the flap shut and water's coming in kind of at the same time.
Okay. Water now in. This is really good. Okay. This is really important to think about because now what you've done here is you associated certain events, okay?
Wrongly.
Pardon?
I said that apparently wrongly.
No! Oh. Your association is fine.
Okay.
But in dealing with causal events or the mechanism, what you really want to ask is, what caused that to happen? So now you have, so what caused it to happen? Well, when the water started going out, the float went down. The float went down, the valve opened up. Water is flowing in. But how come the level in the tank is not increasing? The outflow is bigger than the inflow. So water is flowing, but it's not going in as fast as it's going out. It's not that small, but because if you ever break that, you know, you get it all over the face and pass it.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, sure.
So what does that tell you? If there's water coming in and water going out, what does the level in the tank depend on? The relative rates. How fast it's coming in, how fast it's going out. So you see, this, if you think causally, this kind of starts making sense. But what happens in the bowl? Why does the water level rise? Because more water is coming in than going out.
And increased pressure.
What does that cause
the
water out?
Water
is spill over.
Yeah.
Here we have our trusty assistant. Okay, so what you have here is the toilet. Here's the flap, the not a bowl now, it's a flap valve. Here we have the trusty assistant. Notice how wonderful a job he does. Has it experience? Doesn't do this at home. We're working on it. Okay? So we said this goes up and the water comes out here because it's going out faster than it's coming in. This level drops. And where does it go? It goes into this tank. Goes into the tank, and now there's nothing going out here yet. Notice here's the water level there. Going out here, and so this goes up. And if that pressure increases, it started out here, now the pressure increases, what do we have? You have a pressure gradient. You have a gradient, what do you have then? Flow. And this flow of water goes to here, and what happens to this level? It rises up until it exceeds this hump, and then it connects this column of water with that column of water. And now the lower end of the gradient, no longer here, it's way down here. What happens? Bowl drains. And why does it, what happens, why does it drain? Why does the level decrease now? Because this pressure is higher than that pressure, that's one reason. Flow rates are different, and why are the flow rates different now?
Because
the water in the tank is stopped. Because now the water level going down, this thing floats in the water level goes down, it's down to here, and now the weight of the flap is greater than the buoyancy of the water, and that closes. And then what happens in the tank? Now it fills up because the valve is open on top, and the rate going in is greater than the rate going out. Okay? So then this goes on down here and flushes, and water goes on down here. And when does, in the diagram that you saw, when does water stop going down and stop leaving?
Not the pocket there.
In fact, if this goes down below here, the air can come in here. That ends up disrupting this column. And now I no longer have a connection between here and here. Stops going this way, and the level of the reservoir increases. This toilet, there's a little bit of a cheat. There's a little bit of different things, because part of this water going in here is also going down this channel. So it's adding a little bit of force to this water, so this will actually continue to flush a little bit. Making sense?
Yes.
Watch. So, down here, the level is on, the tank is on, the flap is closed. Now let's look at it again. Watch what's going on. Assistant. Up. Is coming. Now you have that connection there. Bubble that went up. Broke the connection. Still going because there's water coming down here. But when does that water stop? This goes drops here. One is directly in the bowl from around here. One is the side port. Side port. That's a good line. Stuff the flow. And what is that process? Shuts off the valve. So what is it that keeps the valve closed?
Pressure.
Pardon?
The water level in the tank.
Water level in the tank. So the buoyancy of the ball. And you see the trusty assistant is there. Maybe things to do. Why should I talk to you about the toilet?
Universal themes.
You never know.
Never know what you might need. Now, this is very interesting. Let's get back for a moment. Let's get back for a moment to the issue that started this conversation. Okay?
Sock.
Right? Let's talk about the sock.
Yeah, that was just a
tip-off
that there
needed
to
know. What else was in there?
It was already in the sea. I thought you'd fix it, but yeah, we actually stopped.
Did
and
you
like,
lose the sock?
Oh, well, it's not
reputable,
but.
So you plunged that sucker right down the drain, is that right?
No,
maybe you stopped it up later on.
There was a couple other factors that added to that. But
that's good. Let's consider another situation here, then. Let's go back to this. Let's talk a little bit about, let's stop this. And let's talk a little bit about our, let's talk a little bit about our trusty assistant here. Let's not talk about the science in the toilet. Let's talk about the toilet in his house. Now, he doesn't do this anymore, but when he was about 2, and the toilet was open, somehow, there was a problem. The problem was that you'd flush the toilet, and this level would go up and up and up and up, and kind of go out very slowly, but never took anything, it never took everything out of the bottom. What might the problem have been? Tank emptied very well, no issue here. Something obstructing the drain. And so, well, they plunged. And you know what? That didn't help. And you know, then they snaked. So they actually put a snake down here and tried it. And, you know, that didn't work either. So, took the toilet off, turned it over. What should I find right here? Wedge right there. A bottle cap. Sure. It allowed some flow through. Now, enough of flow caused this to empty fast enough to raise hard. God knows when he put it in there. Unless he didn't and Mom did. But what we see is if the resistance is here, or if the sock is there, much resistance to flow, and this is going to fill up, so it gets enough pressure to go across here maybe and lose some of that water. And so the remedy, you said, was to plunge that sucker. What happened when you plunged it?
Increasing the pressure.
Pardon?
Increasing the pressure.
Increasing what kind of pressure? Hydrostatic pressure. Because what are you doing? You're putting that plunger in here, you're pushing down, what are you doing? You're pushing this column. Increasing that pressure. And if in fact this level is up to here, plug is down here, how full is that trap?
Full. Increasing hydrostatic pressure. Static pressure.
Well, usually it moves.
You're increasing that kinetic energy per se.
When I put the plunger in here, and I put the plunger under the water level, then the inside of the plunger is filled with water. So when I push it down, not really increasing the level of the water. What I am doing is putting an outside force on that column of water. And I am then actually increasing hydrostatic pressure because I am helping, I'm taking the combined force, pushing the whole thing down. Am I increasing the kinetic energy? Absolutely. So, you can say it either way, but the cause is not that I've increased the water level of flow. It's that I've added an external force to increase that pressure. And I can't tell the difference. If I'm a water molecule sitting over here, I don't experience any difference from using that plunger to increase the kinetic, or by putting some sort of a column here, field, and filling it up to here. What's this got to do with physiology? Now I can, what can I do now? What can I do to increase my income? I can be a massage therapist. I can be a plumber. So far. And God knows, there are no limits to what we can do now with this information. Why would I think this would be a good exercise to do and think about in physiology? Cells move pressure gradients to move things.
Concentration gradients.
They don't use them. Sometimes they do. And under what circumstances that you've already talked about can you think of a cell creating a concentration gradient to move something? Sodium potassium pump causing what to move? Sodium. And then couple that with the transport. Okay. But why else? So that's inside the cell and across the cell. But I think about it someplace else. Thought about it for a lot of years. Where else? Besides across the cell membrane, where else might this be applicable? Okay? I don't take oxygen in the lungs, I take air in the lungs. Okay? So I'm moving gas in and out. So they must have to set up some sort of a pressure gradient, we're going to probably do that next quarter, to move that gas from out of here into the lungs, and a pressure gradient to then exhale that gas. Where else might I expect to find these principles?
Nervous system.
You drink water.
My bladder fills up.
And your bladder fills up. What about before your bladder fills up? Because now I've got to get the water. I've got to get the water somehow between from my stomach or intestines to end up somewhere in the kidney to get it into the bladder, right? Because from my anatomy, I know that's not a direct path. But I have, a circulatory system. And what happens in a circulatory system? What is there in a circulatory system?
Pressure.
Flow. Flow. Water. Flow. Red water. Okay.
Nervous system.
There's flow. So, gee, I could expect to see the same kinds of things here that I see here. Flow, there must be a pressure gradient. And what happens? Oh, let's see what happens if you have a sock. What happens if you have a sock in the major artery?
You die.
What form do you think? What is one example of how you might have a sock in that major artery?
Clot.
A clot. That's one possibility. What's another one? Because your doctors and all that stuff. Cholesterol, you can have a plaque in there, narrowing down, increasing the resistance in there. And in that situation, Carl, you said there was a pump. Didn't you say there was a pump? Somebody said there was a pump.
Sure.
Somebody said there's a pump, huh? You said a pump. So that pump is kind of an interesting pump, and we're going to talk about that in a couple of weeks. What do you think happens to that pump if I have this sock in the toilet? It works harder. And when it works harder, what does it cause to happen?
What does it cause to happen
in the artery? Higher pressure.
Blowout.
One of the questions you would ask later on is, what is the mechanism? I hear from a lot of folks at your state, the heart needs to pump faster, pump harder, in order to make that flow increase. If I think mechanistically, you have to ask yourself, okay, so let's see. We talked about flow, resistance, and we said, well, gee, that happens in the body, all over the place. The stuff that's, why would I show you this? Because you're all familiar with flushing the toilet. Should be. You don't necessarily know what goes on inside the toilet, but when you start looking at it, it should make some sense to you. And so what we've done is emphasize that those pressure and flow relationships and resistance happen all around you. They just don't happen in the body. Means that the things that we learn about mechanisms in the body are things that govern lots of laws in our environment around us, not just for school. It's not just for your medical practice. So we talked about this reservoir, right? You think you might expect to find that reservoir concept somewhere in the body as well? There are two possibilities. Three possibilities.
Yes, no, maybe.
You might find in the lymph. Where in the limb? Why? Tell me what you think about. Okay, now wait a minute. We have to be careful. Modell doesn't know a lot of these anatomy words. Never learned that language. So, what is that? What is that? It's just during a.
G-spot.
Where is it? Right here. I can't visualize it. This side. What is the level of the fuselage agenda possibility, I guess?
Yeah.
Stomach? Okay.
Yeah.
Ladder?
Tear duct in your eye.
Okay. Something else?
Tear duct in your eye.
A tear duct in your eye. Don't know that there's a reservoir.
Well, maybe it just makes it. See, I didn't know that. What about the sweat gland?
Sweat glands is not really a reservoir there. About the colon, okay? Colon is one of another possibility. What else? The chambers of the heart, to some extent. Gallbladder, to some extent. Anything else? Come on. Venous system,
Sorry, the glycogen in the
middle. Here's a clue. It is fat. Okay, Sean, you got another idea?
Anyway.
So long. It's okay. Good. So if I think about, now if I think about the level of oxygen, the level of CO2 in the lungs, level of oxygen depends on the amount of oxygen coming in the period of time and the amount leaving in the period of time. The amount of CO2, the level of CO2 in the lungs depends on the amount coming in the period of time and the amount going out the period of time. Well, that's kind of neat because if I think about a level of oxygen or CO2 in the lung gas, then I raise a whole other issue for this reservoir model. What might that be? What's in the blood?
We have red blood cells.
Right? What plasma? What's in plasma? What is plasma?
Protein.
Water.
Protein.
Serum. What's the difference between serum and plasma? You know?
I don't know. I was
trying. Serum. No clotting factors. Plasma has clotting factors. So to get serum, I take some blood and I let it clot. The stuff that's left. What else is in this plasma?
I'll tell you what's.
What's not here?
Antibody production.
Antibody production is not in there, okay? Are there antibodies in the plasma? Are there antibodies in the plasma? Probably. What else? If there are antibodies, what else is there?
Bacteria.
The bacteria? No, not usually bacteria, because otherwise you get sick and die.
White blood cells.
White blood cells? What else in the plasma?
Water.
Red blood cells, but those are cells, besides the water part. If I take plasma, I take some blood, and I centrifuge it, and then I remove that plasma from the cells, I take the cells out, I'm left with plasma, and Fatima says there's some antibodies in there. And I said, okay, what else is in there? Pardon?
Lunch.
Cholesterol, there may be some cholesterol in there. What else might there be in there?
Serum proteins.
Serum proteins, hormones,
platelets.
I'm taking those out. What do you mean lunch?
Glucose.
Now, what does the level of glucose, the level of serum, the level of hormone, the level of serum proteins, the level of antibodies, what do they all depend on? Amount coming in the period of time?
No.
And the amount going out the period of time? Sure. Now that we've had this discussion about toilets,
yay,
it might be a good time to do what?
Use one. Yay! I'm going to increase my input. I'm hungry.